What is up, everybody? It is your favorite white boy back to the Scavoli Tano show. No unboxing this week, guys. I know. Don't cry. Do not cry. I'm here. Do not cry. But we have a very special week ahead of us with interviews. And this lady that I have on right now, I don't know her name. She has a weird name. So I'm just going to call her Era. Oh, there we go. Era. I said it right. Ha ha. Winner. I win. She plays an awesome Sabine, a Scarlet Witch, and so many more cosplays. She's in the movie Doom that Kiefer Jenkins is going to be putting out May the 4th. I think I can say that. He might kill me, but I'll say it. I think it comes out then. But yes, she plays an awesome Sabine. She's going to sit down like she is right now and talk to us about Sabine, Rebels, and what's to come for her for future cons, because we know cons are closed due to COVID, unfortunately. And your stimulus check coming in soon. That's it. That's all I have to say. But Era, how are you, my friend?
I am good. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, magical.
Magical. Aren't we all? Aren't we all in the world of worlds?
You know? So say we all.
So, Era, before we start, how long have you been cosplaying for?
Oof. Okay, so I've been wearing costumes my whole life, technically, because my mom is a professional seamstress. But getting into the conventions and the cosplay, that started when I was about 13, 14. So that's been about 12 or 13 years now. Almost, whoa, going to start reaching 14 years soon. That's scary.
Almost a decade. No, it is a decade. Yeah, it's a decade.
Yeah, almost half or decade and a half almost. That's a lot of math.
I couldn't even do that. I was like 12 plus 2. Like, is that 14 or 15 at this point?
You gotta carry the one.
You gotta carry up the one, multiply that by 6.
There's parentheses somewhere in there.
There is. It's too much. That's why I failed math class. No, I was no. I failed math class.
It's okay.
So, Era, so when you got the role to play Sabine for the Doom movie that's coming out May the 4th, how did you prep for that? How did that come all about?
So I was contacted by Doom, essentially, regarding Sabine, which was really, really exciting. Sabine is a wonderful character, and she definitely means a lot to me, and there's a lot that I can connect with her with. When it comes to playing characters like this, or playing a character in a short film, or even theatrically, I do have that kind of background. I essentially start doing a lot of my character research. And Sabine, thankfully, like, there's a lot of character research done in just watching the show, which is great. I was obviously familiar with the show, familiar with the character. But to get into the mindset for this kind of a project, a short film or a film like this, playing her versus cosplaying her, I went kind of like a deeper route, and I really started to, you know, ask the questions about, you know, who she really is and what does she really want? What are her motivations? What is she really afraid of? Aside from what we see that she's giving us on the show, you kind of got to take a little bit of those steps as to finding out deep down, what is she going through? What is this girl experiencing? This is a teenager in the middle of a war. This is somebody who's, you know, got problems with her family. She's, you know, she is afraid deep down. She's got her own fears that she masks very, very well. And she does that, you know, metaphorically too, through her armor as a Mandalorian. She's a warrior. She's, you know, got this incredible background, but she's hurting on the inside too. She misses her family. She, you know, has this found family, which is a wonderful thing. But, you know, there's so much depth to her. She's still hurting. She's afraid. She's, you know, scared. She's got vulnerability, which is great. That's what humanizes her. So for me, it was about trying to find those vulnerable moments and trying to connect with them and, you know, talking with Kiefer, the director, and what is she going through at this exact moment? What exact moment in time is this? Her connections with Kanan, that, you know, we know she has that father-daughter relationship with him, but, you know, this is the only father she has in her life right now. So there's connecting with that and, you know, Hera as a mother figure and her turmoil and Kanan's turmoil and just trying to really humanize these characters deep down. I even watched some interviews with like Tia Sakaar to see how she presents herself even outside of portraying the character and watching her body movements, her body language, and just trying to do these little puzzle pieces and really sit down and study this character and who she is and try to build that into my own performances with any character really, but you know, Sabine, it was a lot of fun to just sit down and really think about Sabine, think about this character, you know, and every little aspect about her and put that little puzzle together.
Sabine, I like how you do that. I like how you said that. I was intrigued. I was like, say more, keep going. Yeah.
Just an hour later.
Just an hour later. But yeah, I can't wait for the movie. I can't wait. We're going to have Kiefer on the show soon, guys. So stay tuned for that. Don't worry. We'll tell him you said hi. We'll tell him you said hi.
Biggest concern.
Yeah, she was on the show before you, Kiefer. So she's got props. She's got props. But so how was it there filming due to COVID? It was during COVID, right? You guys filmed?
Yeah.
So how was that? Because yeah, I know how to... Did you have to stay 6 feet away from each other? Was there someone telling you that?
It's definitely a difficult time right now, especially for the arts and for entertainment right now. Like our, as an actor and as an artist too, it's just our world has come crashing down. Mm-hmm. And it's terrifying. We're all dealing with, you know, not being able to, you know, have our passions and really express them as we normally would. There's no theater. There's no, you know, productions are being shut down and it's a scary, scary world right now. And, you know, we have to keep living too. So we have to live safely and we have to do it with, you know, as much concern and compassion for everybody else working the sets and the crew. And that was something we definitely all understood. We took every precaution we could. We wore our masks. I double masked. I stayed away from everybody prior to this. I do not go out. I was not shopping. I did everything that I could to take these steps to protect my castmates and, you know, people on set. I even, you know, talked to John about this stuff, John who plays Kanan. You know, I haven't been doing anything. I haven't been anywhere because obviously we have our scenes together. So I want everybody to be comfortable knowing that we have done everything we can, every precaution. I mean, I do my little workouts and all that stuff. And I was pumping up on my vitamins and on my, I was going to say eucalyptus, but it's not eucalyptus, elderberry, all that, you know, immune system thing. So I did a lot to do my best to be safe as I could for everybody. And so did they. We did everything. There were masks. There were sanitizers. The studio was sanitized like crazy. Everything was done to, you know, top tier safety precautions with this stuff. It's just sad because, you know, this is such an environment that is so incredible to be a part of in this entertainment world. It's not the same. There's no, you know, backstage with your castmates. There's no connection. Like you really, really do on these kind of films or even theatrically, you get close to your castmates and everybody does become that found family that you have. But the connection is severed because we can't, you know, connect like we normally would. You can't, you know, goof around. You know, rehearsals are online now and, you know, auditions are online. Everything is so, so different. So that's the one sad thing. It's limited. It's not as grand as it once would be. But again, we did everything we in our power to keep everybody safe, and we did. We had no problems.
Oh, that's awesome. I can't wait to see. I'm so excited.
You're gonna love it.
I'm so excited. I really am. I'm just gonna sit on YouTube and go, yes, this is what I waited for. This is what I wanted. This is what I
came out of home, and this is what I was looking for. It wasn't Rebels, it was a short film.
It was a short film. Now, how long is this film? Can you say that or not yet?
I don't know if I can say that. It was Kiefer.
I'll have him on the show. So if you can't answer, I'll just ask him when I see him.
I'm not sure. For safety, I won't. But
okay.
Whisper.
Yeah, I know. Kiefer just in their ear. Don't say it.
He just punches through my curtain.
So, what was your favorite part about filming the Doom short film?
I had a lot of fun doing the Darksaber stuff.
Ooh, I don't know. Before we get into that, now how did you do the Darksaber? Was it real? Like, was it like someone handmade it? Because we know some people hand make it, and then the blade is like not handmade, but was like,
it was handmade.
No, it was, yeah, handmade. That's what I'm going to say. I was like, what am I going to do? Say not. But it was
handmade. Yeah. It was handmade. It lights up. It does the sound effects. It does all that fun stuff. It's a beautiful prop. I'm small, so it looks gigantic against me, which kind of works like cinematically and storytelling wise, because Sabine is so small in this part of the story in a sense. But it makes the noises. It looks like the Darksaber. It's really, 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 really cool. It hangs on my wall. But yeah, that was like the coolest thing, because you know, we were filming right next door to where they filmed The Mandalorian in that canyon area.
Oh, really? So,
yeah, so that area is very, very similar to that area. It was, 10-minute difference, maybe? I don't know. Kiefer, don't quote me on that. Don't shoot me. but yeah, that little canyon area where we filmed the Darksaber sequences, that was cool, because you're there and you could definitely feel that environment, and it felt like the Trials of the Darksaber scene. And John did work with me on the choreography, the fight choreography with that, because I have done fight choreography for short films before. I am not somebody who is skilled in sword or anything like that. I would love to learn more. So it was definitely a very realistic sense of, he is teaching me and I am learning and I have no idea what I'm doing. So that was cool, because it really felt in the moment. And you're working with the Darksaber. That's cool.
I'm going to have to come wherever you live now and just take it off your shelf.
Hey, I mean, you got to fight me for it. But you got to get through me. And then you got to go through like Bo-Katan, who's probably in my backyard waiting to ambush and get it back.
I'm going to bring Baby Yoda, and I'm going to bring my Ahsoka Tano Galaxy Edge lightsabers.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you might win, though.
And then Katie Sackhoff, of course, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. And then I can't kick her ass. She can kick my ass, though, but I can't kick hers, you know?
She's just waiting in my backyard with binoculars for the right moment to strike and get that back.
But that's awesome. I can't believe, I didn't know that was real. I thought it was just like a prop, and then he added like effects to it. Like what the real actors use. They don't use real things. They use the fake ones.
Yeah. Yeah, so like obviously, like there will be some enhancements to make it stand out and work for film. But it does light up. It does do all this cool stuff. My buddy made the blade, it by hand, and he sells them. So Jedi Juju, if you want a Darksaber, definitely go to him.
Yeah, you're gonna have to text me that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Answer this, just go, okay, let me send Chris a message. That's it. Let me just do that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Merry Easter. Yeah. Happy Easter. Merry Easter. And then there's your Darksaber.
That's amazing. He does the blade too. No, not the blade. The hilt.
The hilt I got from, I don't remember the name, forgive me. But I can definitely send you that info too, where I got the hilt. But yeah, Jay does the blades and some really high quality Darksaber stuff.
God, I'm so excited. I can't wait to start hitting people with it. I can't wait.
No, yeah, right. See? Yeah, it works. That's how you social distance now. You just carry the Darksaber with you. Everybody backs away.
It backs off. Now they say, now you stay 6 feet away. Now you do. So you don't come near me.
Exactly. It's better than like swinging my arms rapidly.
And just saying, stop, 6 feet. Stop it. Stop.
Yeah. Or the spray bottle effect.
Now, my next question to you is, how was it like working with everybody that you didn't work with before?
It was great, honestly. I love working with a cast. It's always exciting with a new cast, or with castmates that you don't know and castmates you're familiar with. I know John, so that was
okay.
I was familiar with him. I hadn't worked with Rey before, and I hadn't worked with Jen before, who operates Chopper, which was fun. Working with Chopper was fun. He's, a castmate in himself. Everybody's a sweetheart on that cast. Everybody's a teddy bear. Everybody's so much like their characters. It's insane. Like, you're literally not acting yet. Nobody shouted, obviously cut is shouted, but we haven't started filming. Nobody's done anything yet. And all, everybody's just their characters in real life. It's so cool to see how, like, you can actually pull from them. John is very much like Kanan. Rey is very much like Hera. Chopper is Chopper, and Jen does wonderful with him and putting up with me arguing with him on set. That was fun. That was an experience. So wow.
I gotta have Jen on the show. Now I want her to come on and talk with Chopper.
Definitely.
I want to fight with Chopper now.
Oh yeah, like you gotta fight with Chopper. That was an experience in a lifetime. Was just, you know, sitting while they're shooting scenes and, you know, watching Chopper, and you're just like glaring at him, and I put my little helmet on him and all that fun stuff. He's great, and Jen's wonderful too. She's so nice.
Now, when she controls Chopper, I know I'll ask this to her too, but when she controls Chopper, does it go like his sound and everything, and he has the little thing and everything, his little hand?
Yeah, he moves. Like, his head will move, and he, you know, he can, it's so weird how you can tell what his expressions are, because we know Chopper. So there'd be moments when, you know, hey, Chopper, and he just turns around and looks at you, and it's like, okay, we're fighting now. Like, you're looking for, like, you want to start beef with him. You want to start trouble with him. You can't help it. He's real next to you. Like, that is so cool.
That is. Like, I'm geeking out right now. Like, I want a Chopper. Can she make me a Chopper?
Honestly, I want a Chopper.
Like, that's insane. That's incredible.
I've sent her messages, like, tell Chopper.
Right? I'll DM Chopper himself. Let's see if it responds. Like,
I know.
Let's see if
I was like, I think he unfriended me, and it was probably Chopper the other day. I know it was him.
Oh, Chopper. I love Chopper. Chopper's one of my favorite droids.
Oh, yeah. He's my favorite. I love him.
He's one of my favorites. So you said Sabine was one of your favorite characters in Star Wars. Now, who are your top three favorite Star Wars characters?
Ooh.
And why?
Now I have to write an essay. My favorite character, my favorite character is Kanan.
Oh, okay.
I love Kanan. I love his story. To me, he's the perfect example of, like, you know, someone who's had a horrible, horrible experience and grief and is suffering. And yet he's still a good person. He has a good heart. He loves his family. He takes on, you know, these kids that aren't even his and has to raise them. He has to step into this whole role of being a mentor and a father at the same time, not just to Ezra, but to Sabine too. Yeah. And, you know, that's big steps. And he's, you know, Kanan's, I think, 29 when this starts and then goes into his early 30s. You know, he's young. He's a young guy who had so much taken from him. And in reality, he's gotten it back through this found family. And, you know, he's basically Hera's husband. We all know that. But he stepped into this big role, and he, you know, as someone who, if you've read A New Dawn, you know, suffered and was an alcoholic and had, you know, a lot of trouble, understandably so. But that he's cleaned it up, and he's become this wonderful, wonderful man that he always was deep down. He's hurting. Everybody in this show is hurting. But I love that story. It was the coming of age story of Kanan just stands out to me so, so much that he's definitely my number one favorite for that. That's, you know, wow, he's been through so much.
I love, see, and, like, you know, in shows, like, you have, how can I put it? Like, you have someone you hate in those shows. Like, you have, like, the main cast, like, we know, like, the Inquisitor was there, Thrawn, but they're really not main, but they are main characters, but they're not in every episode, like Ezra was, Sabine, Hera, Chopper, yeah. Zeb, and Kanan. But, like, I don't hate any of them. Like, I can't hate throughout Star Wars. Like, even the Clone Wars, like, I didn't hate anyone. I just hated Palpatine because I know what he was doing. You know? Like, how could you not realize that? Like, I don't know.
But he was right there.
He was literally right there talking to you, and you could not even sniff that out. But, yeah, I couldn't hate anybody on that. Like, I couldn't. Like, someone, I'll be like, oh, I don't like that character. But, like, I'm like, keep going. Give me more.
Yeah. I mean, I know, like, people hate Ezra or don't like Ezra, and I understand, but it works for him because he's a 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
He's annoying. You know, we were all annoying as teenagers. I know I was. But, you know, he's and you got to realize, too, he's an orphan. He's a street kid. You know, that's background. And he grows and he matures with the story, which is awesome to see that. Again, everybody in Rebels has this coming of age process and story to them. Everybody's got tragedy. Everybody's got depth. Everybody's got redemption. And it's literally in every single one of those characters. It's hard to hate them because they're given so much. There isn't a single character I dislike on there. I mean, even Hondo. Hondo.
I love Hondo.
Hondo's a jerk, and yet we love him because he's Hondo. He's got so much to him. He's just there.
Like, I liked him in Clone Wars, but in Rebels, I just loved him more. Like, Rebels, like...
Anyway, he's the kind of guy that he walks on screen, and you're like, this guy again.
Like, what do you want now? What do you want now?
Honestly, you're just like, oh, it's that meme, that here we go again. You just gotta
buckle up. This is where the fun begins.
A single tear.
So who are your other two favorites?
Well, let's see. Okay, so Kanan. I do love Sabine a lot. She's obviously, again, because I definitely can relate to her. In the beginning, it was very much, you know, no, I don't see myself as her. I can't relate to her. It was my friends and even family that were like, no. That one's you. I'm like, how, why? And then as I watched more and more, it was like, oh, that's why. Okay. So I definitely have to put Sabine as probably my second favorite, I would say. Again, like we talked about earlier, she's got so much going on. She's got so much depth. Mandalore as a concept in general is just, wow, there's so much to it. There's so much storytelling, so much lore, and so much myth. I'm Hispanic and Native American. I'm Navajo Indian. So I definitely found the connection there with, you know, your culture and, you know, ancestry and the importance of artifacts and stuff too. I know, like, Harris Kalachori in Hispanic culture, we have a mocajete, which is what we use to, you know, ground like guacamole and I'm forgetting the names of all my stuff, salsas and chilies and all that stuff. And it's passed down from generation to generation. So mine comes from years and years and years ago. So there's these connections you find there with their cultures. Obviously that's Harris culture, but you find these little things. And I find a lot of that in Sabine with, you know, my own ancestry. So there's personal connection with Sabine. There's, you know, who she is personality wise is very similar, I would say, to me in real life or to my friends who know me. We're both sarcastic. We're both artistic. We both, you know, come from families of very, very, you know, proud cultures and proud heritages. So there's a lot of that. And I love how she does her armor. Honestly, I would do my armor the same way. I just went ham on a trash can in my backyard painting it because I wanted to paint something. There's so much to her, and I don't want to talk for 2 hours about how great of a character she is, but she's a favorite definitely for a lot of that personal, you know, reasoning and stuff that I can find with her.
Love Sabine.
Yeah, she's great.
She is.
Yes.
She is. She has, you know, she's Sabine. She's just that one character that you can't help but love her. She's got through so much, and she's grown so much, and she's got so much unique creativity to her. She's fantastic.
She is.
Yes.
Yeah. Love now, third. That's the hard
one. Yeah, now the third one. Yeah, now I'm going to say, who are you going to pick for your third one? Evilness.
Ooh. That's going to be, Now, I do love Obi-Wan. Ooh. I really, really like Obi-Wan. But I love Satine, too.
You could do both.
Okay, then let's do both. Because their dynamic is like important too.
There is. I love that arc because you don't know he had a romance, you know, and then you find that out in Clone Wars, and you don't find that out in the movies. Like, that's why Clone Wars is so important. Yeah. So important.
It fills the gaps.
It does.
It definitely does. And Satine plays such a major role to Obi-Wan's character because we realize just how much he has in common with Anakin. You know, he's fallen in love with somebody he shouldn't have fallen in love with. Or, you know, the forbidden love trope, essentially, because she's Mandalorian and he's a Jedi. And fight me that Corky is not his son. I thoroughly believe that theory.
I do too.
You cannot tell me that is not his. It, to me, it, I like the idea of it because it does add, again, more depth to Obi-Wan and to show that he and Anakin were very similar after all. You know, Obi-Wan went through the same thing and did not turn.
But I hope we find it out. I hope we find that out. Like, if Corgi is his son, I would lose it. I would throw my phone as I'm watching the Disney Plus series. I'm like, I fucking knew it. And just, like, start throwing stuff, like, throw my whole room up in the air. I was like, oh, my God. But, like, you know what Obi-Wan is, though? Obi-Wan is, how can I put it? Like, he's more smarter than Anakin, if I can say that.
He's, like, yeah, like, maturity, the wisdom.
Yes, like, he knows to let go. But with Anakin, he never let go, you know?
Yeah.
So that's where they're different, but they are similar to each other.
Yeah, like Anakin let it consume him, and Obi-Wan just allowed himself to kind of feel and let go.
Yes. Like, I know if Corgi is my son, I know I had a kid. You had two. But I had a kid before you. Ha-ha. Mm-hmm. So my last question to you, my friend. If someone out there is ready to cosplay, what is the one thing you would tell that person, like advice you would give them if they're stepping into the cosplaying and short films like you are? What is the one thing you could tell those people?
Have fun. Do not ever not have fun. Do not ever do it because it's a chore or because, like, and same thing with, like, acting and theatrics. Don't do it for fame. Don't do it because you want to be rich. Don't do it because you want to be Instagram famous. Don't do it for any of those reasons. Do it because you love it, because you want to do it. You like these characters. You want to have fun. Nothing has to be perfect, especially when you're starting out. Nothing, even now, as long as I've been doing this, you know, nothing is ever perfect. You will always be learning. There is always something to learn. There's always somebody wiser than you. There's always going to be somebody that, you know, knows less than you, no matter where you are in life. And you got to take that and help each other grow. Grow with your mentors. Always ask questions. Learn. Have fun. Don't be afraid either. I know stage fright can be a thing for some people. My advice for that, honestly, I think it's good advice for cosplayers too, and for anybody that wants to act or step into this creative entertainment world, is, you know, embrace that. It's okay to be afraid. You gotta think of it like a Jedi. That fear is there. You can't block it out, but embrace it instead. And, you know, take that energy. Fear is energy. Take it and do it. Just do it. You know, you have to start somewhere. We all do, and we all experience these things. But if you're having fun, if this is, you know your heart's in the right place, you know this is where you belong, everything will fall into place and everything will work out as it's supposed to. In the end, it's you got to have fun. You got to love it. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to feel these things. We all do. But in the end, you're having fun. You've made these memories. You've learned. You've grown. And it doesn't even matter if it's, you know, the smallest of things. You still did it. And that's great. You can have, you know, you can go to a con and wear the little sheet and be a ghost. You know, you did it. You still put on the costume and you still went out there. Sometimes this stuff is scary. It really is. Sabine's easy because she's got a helmet. Hello, helmet. You can hide behind that. I mean, the same thing you can do metaphorically. Put on your mask, if that helps. Be the character. Or you don't even have to be the character. It's just wearing the costume. That's okay. But have fun. Please don't ever forget not to have fun. That hurts me when people, you know, are so stressed out about this stuff. It's sad. You know, stress happens, but it should be a happy stress. It should be a fun stress. Enjoy it. Love it. Have fun. Please don't. And don't ever not have fun. Don't ever grow up with this stuff.
That's me. That's why I love Baby Yoda.
Yeah. Honestly, don't ever grow up. That is, like, my number one advice in the world.
Don't grow up.
Don't grow up.
Oh, that's so. Oh, I could hear it. Just preach it. Keep going. Just preach it. We can talk for an hour. Just preach it. Keep going.
And then remember, if you win the Darksaber in battle, you are Mandalore. But Katie Sackhoff is going to want that back.
Yeah, I don't know how she lost it. That's for another time. That's for another episode.
that's the sequel.
That's the sequel. I'm gonna, Era, I said it again, right? Yes, Era. I said it. I'm so happy. Now, where can everybody follow you on Instagram? Or no, Instagram. Where can everybody follow you on the social of meteors?
Well, the best place would be Instagram. You'll see a lot of my cosplay stuff there. Lioness Cosplay is what I go under. My acting and film is under Aravis Rey, A-R-A-V-I-S-R-E-Y. That's, you know, where you'll find my like short films and little behind the scenes stuff. I do post stuff from Doom. So you will find some of that stuff there. That's more of, I guess, my film theatrical side. For costumes and for cosplay and all that, definitely the Lioness Cosplay for Instagram. Lots of Sabine there, tons and tons of Sabine. She's everybody's favorite. I'm trying to do a little bit more to interact with my audiences. So I hope to maybe jump onto YouTube and we'll try to explore that where we can talk about Sabine and talk about Rebels like, you know, we're doing here. Yeah, that's probably the best place. I did join TikTok, but I'm kind of a generation behind, I think. I'm trying to figure that out and figure out what kind of fun Sabine stuff, you know, my audiences would like. So we're learning.
We're learning. Oh, that's so cool. And then, guys, I will put the links all to her her Instagram. You just send me those. And then I'll put them in the link in the bio. And then you guys can go support her because she's amazing. She's one of the talented. You're so sweet. Like, oh, my God. I'm a white boy blushing. That's it. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. But thank you so much for joining me today, Era. I really appreciate you coming on, talking about Doom, Sabine, cosplaying. And you're just an amazing person. And I can't wait to see what's to come for you in the future after COVID, because you are talented. You are so sweet. And they're just amazing. I don't know what to say after that.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This has been fun. I love talking about Rebels. I love talking about Sabine. All that fun.
You definitely have to come back again, though.
Yeah. Maybe we'll just talk about Ahsoka nonstop. I know you love Ahsoka.
Yeah, I do. Like right here. Like, I have Ahsoka fied. My Nemo.
Oh, he's so cute.
I know.
Look at his little sweater.
I know. Ahsoka fied.
That would probably fit me.
No, I that's why I was like, well, can it fit me? I tried. It didn't do it. Couldn't get it on. But guys, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Scavolitano Show. Stay right there, Era, because I have to stop because I can't say it like in a sentence.
The other half.
But guys, make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel, The Scavolitano Show, for more unboxings that I have coming soon. I have my Star Wars Celebration unboxing coming very soon. More interviews with the Doom cast. That's the movie's very coming. I'm going to put the links in the bio for the movie, the trailer, and everything. So stay tuned for that. Thank you, Era, for coming on. Oh, I said it in a sentence. Whoa, feel accomplished. And she will be on again soon, guys. And guys, may the force be with you always. Thank you. Be kind to one another. And I'll see y'all soon. Bye.